Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting into something fundamental. Temperature and heat. We've gone through quite a bit of material, the core concepts, really, and pulled out what you need to know. Our mission, basically give you a solid handle on these key physics ideas fast.
Absolutely. And it's fascinating, isn't it, how these ideas connect everything from, you know, tiny particle interactions right up to massive weather systems.
Okay, so let's start with maybe the biggest point of confusion, temperature versus heat. They often get used interchangeably, but they're really not the same thing at all.
Exactly. That's probably the most common mix-up. Temperature is fundamentally a measure of state. Think of it as how much average kinetic energy the particles in a system have.
Right, like what the thermometer tells you. A liquid thermometer gives you that operational definition, that specific state.
Precisely. Whereas heat isn't something an object contains. Heat is energy in transit. It's the flow of thermal energy because of a temperature difference.
Ah, so it's about the transfer. That's why we measure it in joules or sometimes calories, because it's energy moving.
Exactly right. It's dynamic.
Okay, that distinction is crucial. Now, measuring temperature itself. We mostly use Celsius day-to-day, but then there's the Kelvin scale, the absolute scale. Why is that one so important in physics?
Well, Kelvin connects directly to this idea of absolute zero. It's the theoretical point, minus 273.15 degrees Celsius, where particles would have the minimum possible kinetic energy.
Like, basically, they stop moving as much as they possibly can.
Pretty much. It's a fundamental limit. And you can't actually reach it, but scientists get incredibly close for things like quantum experiments. Converting is simple enough, though. Celsius to Kelvin, you just add 273.15. Kelvin back to Celsius, subtract it.
Got it. So heat is this moving energy.
Yeah.
How do things, you know, materials actually respond when heat is added or removed? Let's talk thermal expansion.
Right. Materials react. They expand when heated and contract when cooled. This can be linear expansion, like a metal rod getting longer.
Yeah, like you see with gaps in bridges or railway tracks.
Yeah, exactly. Or it can be volumetric, where the whole object increases in size. Each material has its own coefficient of expansion, its own rate.
But water does something weird, doesn't it?
Ah, water's behavior is fascinating and vital. Most things shrink continuously as they get colder. Water does too, but only down to 4 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
Between 4 degrees and 0 degrees Celsius, as it gets ready to freeze, it actually starts to expand. Ice is less dense than liquid water.
Which is why ice floats.
Precisely. And why lakes freeze from the top down. If water just kept getting denser, lakes would freeze solid from the bottom up, and aquatic life wouldn't survive winters. It's quite an anomaly.
Wow. Okay, so expansion is one response. What about the really dramatic changes, phase changes?
Yes, the passages between states of aggregation. Heat drives these two. We see melting or fusion, solid to liquid. Solidification is the reverse.
And boiling or vaporization, liquid to gas. Condensation is gas back to liquid.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget the direct jumps. Sublimation, that's solid straight to gas, like dry ice.
Right, no liquid phase in between.
And deposition or desublimation is the opposite. Gas straight to solid, like frost forming.
Now, during these phase changes, something interesting happens with the energy, right? Latent heat.
Yes, latent heat. This is critical. When a substance is changing phase, say ice melting or water boiling, it absorbs heat energy without its temperature changing.
So the energy isn't making it hotter, it's doing something else.
Exactly. It's breaking the bonds between molecules, changing the structure from solid to liquid or liquid to gas. That's the latent heat of fusion or vaporization.
And that's why steam burns are so bad.
That's a big part of it. When steam at 100 degrees Celsius hits your skin, it first condenses, releasing a large amount of latent heat. Then you have the heat from the hot water itself, much more energy transfer.
Okay, makes sense. So if we want to quantify how much heat causes, how much temperature change outside of phase changes, what do we look at?
That's where spallivic heat comes in. It's the amount of heat needed to raise the temperature of one unit of mass of a substance by 1 degree. Water, for example, has a very high specific heat.
Meaning it takes a lot of energy to heat water up.
A lot of energy, yes.
Yeah.
And it also means it releases a lot of energy when it cools down. That's different from thermal capacity, which is about the heat needed for the entire object, not per unit mass.
And how do we measure these heat exchanges?
Typically using a calorimeter. It's basically an insulated container where you can mix substances and measure the temperature change to figure out how much heat was transferred, letting you calculate things like specific heat or the final equilibrium temperature.
Right. And that high specific heat of water you mentioned, that has huge implications, doesn't it? Like, for climate.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Oceans act as massive heat reservoirs. They absorb solar energy slowly and release it slowly, which moderates coastal climates compared to inland areas that experience more extreme temperature swings.
So wrapping this up, we've seen temperature as a state, heat is energy in motion. They're distinct, but deeply connected.
And together, they drive everything from expansion and contraction to these dramatic phase changes governed by principles like specific heat and latent heat.
Understanding this difference and these mechanisms really unlocks a lot about how the physical world works, from your kitchen to the planet's climate system.
It really does. It connects the microscopic jiggling of atoms to macroscopic phenomena we see every single day.
So maybe something for you to think about is, next time you see condensation on a cold glass, or wait for a kettle to boil, or even just check the weather forecast, think about that invisible flow of energy, that heat transfer, and the different ways materials respond. It's happening constantly, all around us.